What's up, boys? I hope you are having an incredible day. Just a reminder that we drop every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can listen to our podcast ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
I am your host, William Air Monarch Compton. Taylor's at training camp. The boys are rolling. It's just us. You got a lot of big shit happening. There's been a lot of people wondering what's going to happen with the tailgates this year, watch parties, everything else. We got good shit in the works, boys. Let's play both sides. Let's play pros and cons to this NIL game. If it's an extra $50 a month, goes a ways. Why are you going to pick Nebraska over NFL memo on vaccinations? This has been a hot topic. Oh, shit. I'd do anything known to man to get to a Super Bowl. That's a fact. It sounds like he needs to be on Bustin' with the Boys, and we need to ask him the hot questions. I sent out a tweet to ask fans if you guys have any questions. Just because you play in the NFL don't mean you're a millionaire. That's what Bustin' with the Boys came about. You think I wasn't scared shitless to start Bustin' with the Boys? I'm confident that I will get a call to play this year. And if everybody wants to know if I'm vaccinated, HIPAA, dude. Welcome to another episode of Bustin' with Your Boys. I am your host, William Air Monarch Compton, also known as The Wolf, also known as all these different things. Today I'm wearing some J's, some retro ones. I thought I'd change it up and stun on some people today. Dude, solo pod. The boys are rolling. It's just us. We got Bloss in the back, Alex Lagos with Lagos Creative. We got JP Hovey. We got Garrett. Is it Hargis? 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 I hate that. I'm sorry. I really am sorry.
Run it back.
Hey, he said run it back. Run it fucking back. Yeah, that's what happens when you want to be mean to me on Twitter, dude.
You realize you butchered our name, too.
Yeah, you got the whole podcast name wrong. Bustin' with Your Boys. Which they are.
Wait, what'd I say?
Bustin' with Your Boys.
You said, welcome to Bustin' with Your Boys.
I thought I said Bustin' with the Boys. No. Bustin' with the Boys, baby. But yeah, man, Taylor's at training camp. The boy, I texted him earlier. I asked him how his first couple days of school were going. He said great. Hasn't done a whole lot. I asked him if he did the whole conditioning test, nasal breathing while staring Vrabel in the eyes. Got a chuckle out of it. But yeah, man, it's just the boy today. And the boy's back there. Bloss will chime in like he always fucking does. But before we get into everything, this podcast is brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. And for all the haters out there, because the haters are I'm in a Chevy read, so I can't be cussing. Because all the haters are sick, dude. Everybody's like, oh, stop posing. You drive this. You drive that. Like, the boys are in Chevys now. I'm in a Chevy High Country Silverado. Taylor's in a jacked up Chevy. What is it? A Ridge? Rocky Ridge Silverado. You can check out our Under the Hood that we posted last week to see how it all went down, how it all unfolded, how they try to disrespect the boy a little bit with a little electric car. But we're in Chevys now, the strongest, most advanced Silverado ever. The Chevy is strong, advanced, dependable, gritty, hardworking. There's a lunch pail that comes with it. Just like the people who drive them yourself. The design is big, bold, and commanding, and as always, this truck turns heads. A partner with grit and determination, you can do many things in the Chevy. You can tailgate, you can haul things like your new big screen TV, or all the merchandise I've been delivering to the boys recently, here to the warehouse, which we'll get into in a second, because it's going very well. Towing, off-roading, moving day, helping out your friend or family member, road trips, the Chevy Silverado can do it all. This truck is amazing. Go to a Chevy dealership near you, let them know the boys sent you. Like last week, our boy said, one of the boys out there, I forget his name, but shout out the boy. He said he got a free trailer hitch with his Chevy truck purchase. That's a high dollar value right there. Yep. So let them know the boys sent you. They're going to hook it up with a trailer hitch and go to a dealership near you. Now that the ad read is over, the boys, we got our Chevy Silverados. You know, we're not allowed to completely say Freeland Chevy. We got it at Freeland Chevy. But that's where we went. If you go seek out Cameron, he's a great dude, or Mike, great guys, but seek out the boy Cameron. He's a young lad. And he will hook it up. Let him know, hey, comp, and Taylor sent me. They told me to come to you, and I'm sure he'll finagle you a little bit. They're salesmen at the end of the day, but they're good people over there. Some house cleaning stuff. Fans showing out on YouTube. What's up, Bloss? What do you got?
So we had a little over-under running that we'll take the mask off right now. We had an over-under on how many times you were going to say house cleaning today instead of housekeeping. So that's one, and that's the line.
Oh, that's it. You guys just got a little joke going on back there. And Bloss back there fucking interrupting me. What's going on? Oh, one. Like, Jesus fucking Christ, dude. Fans showing out on YouTube. If you're watching right now, hit that like button, smash the like button, subscribe to the boys, and leave a comment. You guys are all in the chat right now. Sometimes I jump on in there. Sometimes people get a little mean, go back and forth. I appreciate the pride that you guys have in Busting with the Boys and not allowing negativity to be in our chat room. But if you're watching, go comment right now. If you're listening, if you're in your Chevy and you're listening right now, pull over, jump into the reviews, get the reviews up for the boys, subscribe, unsubscribe, do all the stuff to boost. We got to hack the algorithms. At the end of the day, boys, we need some short-term success, and we get that when you guys hack the algorithms, and that's how you do it. So if you're on YouTube watching, subscribe to us and leave comments. You guys showed out. We asked the tier ones. We have over 1,500 comments last week, and you know we average maybe a couple hundred every week.
That's huge.
That's fucking huge, boys. Dude, I'm telling you, I wake up the next couple days, I think we're at like 40,000 views. It's like, hey, how are the boys going to do when you don't have a guest on? How guest-driven is this podcast, and how much can the boys put asses in seats watching at home? And we have, where are we at right now? About 40,000 views, which is great news. The audio is good as well. The comments, over 1,500. Guys, you guys are crushing it. And being a podcast that just runs off of gasoline from you guys and our fans and everybody else, it's all about what you guys do. So buying the merch. The merch, by the way, what you guys are seeing is a 4th of July shirt. Yes, it's late. We had some deals with the warehouse, the wholesaling, the whole merchandise game that goes on. Stuff was late. But what is it, July 26th? These are our July 26th merchandise pieces, dude. Represent America. Represent the boys proudly. Our Hawaiian shirts, everything's set now. You got this Hawaiian shirt. You got the Hawaiian shirt that Thomas Rhett was repping last week. Go buy all of our stuff. And speaking of merch, we had a young lad. Let's see. Let me bring this up. He had a little comment to say. There we go. Can we zoom it in? Trent__R. Just got the trunks in and can say they cradle my balls like I'm getting a massage. When I sit down, they don't uncuff like other shorts. They stay in place like a soft pillow when you get done fluffing it right after it gets out of laundry. 10 out of 10 would recommend again. Well, Trent, why don't you buy another set and give it to a friend? That's how you do it. If you believe in the product so much, you need to buy it again and give it to a friend, gift it to a friend. But our swimming trunks are whole Hawaiian set. You guys saw me rocking it last week. My sack was showing very well. But we have a lot of good merch. You know it's been the sneaky number one seller that we never really pub? The Bussin' Pocket Tees.
The black one?
The one that looks like the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, the black one.
Where it's got the bow tie logo.
Yep.
And it's got the little B with the steer horns over it.
Yep.
That's like our best seller. And it's not even close. Our dad hats are doing well, but yeah, that pocket tee right there.
It's in a bunch of colors now too. The cream ones, the red ones, the gray ones, they even got the blue ones.
Yeah, and those, the black ones, it makes you think of the 96 Bulls, man. Yeah. I hope I'm saying that right. 95 Bulls, 96, 97, something like that. The year Jordan was playing and not retired. But yeah, so we should probably pub those more, and that's my fault. I need to relay those kinds of messages to you guys. Instead of taking a different angle and blaming you guys. The flags, dude, I'll tell you what. Fans are in seats this year. Stadiums are going to be packed. I know, Old Titans Faithful, which is our number one fan base, obviously, right now. The flags we saw last year with minimal people, the flags better be blowing this year in Nissan Stadium. Titans called the boy up. They might be getting the bus in one of their little videos since it seems to be becoming a staple in Nashville, which is huge news. The concern was like, I don't know if they want you particularly in the video. And I'm like, hey, look, listen, I get how the game works. If you don't need me in the video, it's all good. I get that, you just want to show the bus and everything else. But the flags, the bus, and the hype video, like Nissan Stadium needs to be packed with these boys flags that we got out there, which is you're flying the flags, the boys, the bus with the boys, all that stuff. But some good merch stuff. What else do we have on the housekeeping agenda? What's next for the pod? What's coming up? All right. So as you guys see, I'm sitting by myself. I'm in this little limbo of when I could be leaving. And for right now, I'm here, I'm training, I'm doing all this stuff. We're thinking about keeping pods current and up to date. To do so, we need to do pods like this to where I am on my own. And you see, you know, data, numbers, the boys, we're in the war room, we're strategizing how we should approach it. But we have about 5 pods in the work for you guys. We have Dale Earnhardt came on, and he's going to be a hitter. Banger. That one's going to be a banger. We're going to talk about the Mount Rushmore later. He might be, you know, you got to see when that comes in, but he might be on that Mount Rushmore. That's how good of a pod it was. Who else we got? Brian Peters, a huge, you guys might not be familiar with who Brian is. Brian was somebody who's played in 5 leagues, Arena, Canadian, UFL, XFL, and the NFL. By the time he got to the NFL, he was like a 26, 27-year-old rookie who earned a contract in the NFL after playing in the Arena League and CFL first. Then he goes to the NFL and becomes a captain of the Houston Texans. So I've always watched him from afar, and I've always admired him from afar. He's one of those guys who are like my age that I see as like a mentor, because he's very big in the breath work, performance, and just being an awesome dude. So I wanted to have him on the bus because we've always DM'd and everything else. But he's a really good podcast. Bo Pelini comes on the bus, and that one's going to be a banger. The Nebraska fans that are out there listening, I played for old Coach Bo. There was a bad breakup with Nebraska that happened with Bo after about 6 or 7 years. And we sit down with Coach Bo, and dude, you just don't make him like that anymore. The way Bo is and the way he talks about his philosophies, and you try and like dabble in the funny stuff and he laughs and everything else, but the way he is just mental is and how he wants to do things and his approach to the game and everything else, like, it's just, you just don't make him like him anymore. The one question I wish I would have asked him that I didn't get to. However, I did get to say my opinion on what Taylor asked me, what I thought he could get better at. And I asked him if I could speak candidly. We laughed and stuff. And then I kind of give my opinion. And, but I do wish I would have asked about the Big Ten championship game when Wisconsin was just throttling us. I mean, we were getting throttled. We're in a halftime and there's not a whole much of a speech other than, boys, like, wake the fuck up. This is it. Like, we're in the
how
big.
How bad was it? How much were you down?
You could pull it up, but it was like, they might have been in the 40s already.
Oh, wow.
We lost that game 70-something to 30-something. It was bad. And I'm talking, you're in prison, you get cornered by a bunch of dudes, and there's nowhere to go. And they're just tossing that ass around. That's how bad it was. They had 3 running backs have over 200 yards. Melvin Gordon, Monty Ball, and James White. Oh, 3 running backs over 200 yards. It was abysmal. And the one thing I did want to ask, now that I've played a little bit in the league, I've dabbled being a linebacker now. When you're a young cat playing in college, you just don't know. You look to your coach. You look to, like, what are we going to do? We got to play better. We got to tackle better. Yeah, you see that? At halftime, it was 42-10, dude.
Final score 70-31.
I promise, guys, I'm not joking. Anytime Wisconsin comes up, there's like an internal part of me that shells up because I know there's no conversation to be had.
What do you think happened?
Well, I think it's a mix. Number one, players, we should have executed better on defense. There's a missed tackle that I had. I mean, dude, we're missing tackles left and right. However, what Wisconsin did so well that game was they're in this personnel called 21 speed, 22 speed, where you have a running back more so as the receiver, or 2 running backs, 1 running back as the fullback, to where it's not a traditional fullback in there. You have 2 speed guys back there. And they would do this jet fucking sweep, dude. And essentially, we only had 1 call because it wasn't a personnel they lived in a whole lot throughout the year. Even our first game when we played them, we tackled it early, and they didn't go back to it. But they weren't a personnel they lived a whole lot in throughout the game, throughout the year, based on film. So we only had 1 call to that personnel. It wasn't like a base personnel for them to where they were running it all the time. You have a lot of different calls. We had 1 call, and it was over Miami. And you would always call it away from the speed guy. But they would do this jet sweep, and essentially they got it to where they had 1-on-1 tackles going. Like, there was a key that I had to where if the tight end released, you knew if he released wide, you knew it was going to be a handoff to the speed sweep. If he blocked down, you knew it was a zone. You knew it was just a zone play to the running back in the backfield. But they switched it up in the championship game to where the tight end would block down and they would still hand the jet sweep. And you have all this space with a DB and making open field tackles all day long is hard as shit. And as a player's opinion, we didn't make any adjustments. It was kind of like, you know, rape us one series, rape us again, just over and over, back at us, dude. And I'm telling you, they ran nuts. Three running backs over 200 yards. And what I wish I would ask Bo about is, looking back on it, do you think we would have, should have made an adjustment? Because as a player, it's like, yo, why in the fuck are we not calling something else? Yeah. Like, why not send two off the edge? Why not send an edge pressure away from the speed? Away from the speed guy, right? So you're handling the speed sweep, and then you can obviously play ball against the zone player or a lead player, whatever they're running, belly. And I would have liked to have me and him talked shop on that. Because as a coach, you still, like, your players are there to still make the play. We just didn't make them. But as a coach staying on the sideline when shit's hitting the fan, why not think about making an adjustment there?
You guys were the favorite by 12 in that game, too?
We beat them earlier that year. I mean, Wisconsin went into that game because Ohio State was ineligible to be in the championship game. Penn State had their thing going on with old guy that, you know, old Quagmire. Yeah. And so they weren't allowed to be in the game. And so Wisconsin was the third team that got into the Big Ten championship. So they were like 7-5 going into that game. We were 10-2. We had 7 fourth quarter comebacks, and the boys were on a roll. We were feeling good. We're like, we're going to win this game, go to the Rose Bowl, and beat the shit out of Stanford. We're riding high. And, dude, they just beat the fuck out of us, man. And it was the worst feeling. We just had such a hangover the next day. I'm talking, you're in your room, you're ordering pizzas, you just don't want to talk to nobody. But I would have wished to have had that. Not to make this a whole Nebraska podcast and living in the past. Who else? Yes, Open Doors. So we had Open Doors come on. Open Doors is a company that is essentially pioneering this new NIL movement in the NCAA. I'm not sure if this is certain or not, but I know there's programming, their software will be used for a lot of brands. So if there's a brand that wants to, you know, the Alabama kid who's now making almost 7 figures, I don't know, but I would assume a lot of brands are going through this platform, Open Doors, to book this kid for all this money that he's getting. They're basically that middleman, so athletes and kids don't have to get agents and have all these other distractions in their life. It's a seamless platform that allows you to see what their worth is, if you want to pay for their worth or not, in the demographic that you want to. But anyway, Open Doors, Blake and Adi, I had them on. They are Nebraska guys. I played with them on these Bo Pelini teams, so I'm really close with them. Blake, he hosted me on my recruiting trip. Adi, he's kind of been a mentor as we've grown Bussin' with the Boys. They both have. But anyway, I'm super close with those guys at Open Doors, so they flew in to kind of talk about the NIL world, the landscape, what it's going to look like, how Open Doors is doing, and what to kind of look forward to in the years to come. And also Amir Abdullah. So three little Nebraska connections here, but I had on Amir Abdullah. He's a running back for the Minnesota Vikings. Amir is somebody who, he was drafted in the second round, went through some ups and downs throughout his career, and he's in a really good spot mentally. And again, he's somebody I kind of follow. I mean, we're really good friends, not just follow. But he's somebody I follow from afar, I follow him closely. He's my boy. On Instagram, because he's very much in that mental, that limiting distractions, treating your mental right, like breath work, all this stuff to help you perform better, which I'm always fascinated with because that's something I have like a passion in with football and everything else. So I had Amir on, and that was a really good podcast. He delivers some little TED Talks. Alex, I don't think you were here.
I missed that one.
Yeah, but he was delivering some heat, man. I mean, he's very well spoken.
Yeah, I'm not going to let my wife watch that one either.
Hey, because he's got
that's a handsome man right there.
Yeah, and he's got a wrench on him. He's a handsome man, and I'm not going to go too far into it. You guys can wait and listen to the podcast, but 5 pods that are very good. I hope you guys all enjoy them. So that's what the boys kind of have coming. Taylor's going to be in training camp, so obviously he's not going to be on the bus. We're going to see what happens when the season starts to come about, and we'll see where we are, man. We're in a weird spot because I truly have no idea where I'll be. I could get a phone call right now and have to be on a plane that night or the next day to go try out or make a team or something of that nature. So we're kind of in a limbo, but the boys are always going to make it work. We always do. If I'm somewhere else, I'll be interviewing dudes on that team. I'll see what I can corral. The boys will be talking back here. You got Spooktober coming up. You got a lot of big shit happening. So we gave ourselves a little bit of room to breathe with these 5 pods. I think you guys are going to really fucking dig. The Music City Grand Prix is coming. What's the date of that?
That's next weekend.
Next weekend. Mm-hmm. So
August 6th.
The Music City Grand Prix is coming to Nashville. And it's awesome, dude. They reached out to us. They want the bus on like around one of the the popular spots in Nissan, say around Nissan, right?
Yeah, it's called the paddock area. It's basically like the crew area where all the teams gather and have their office spaces and meeting rooms and everything like that. So the bus will be right in the center of all that.
I love that shit. They reached out to Alex. They reached out to the boys. They want to tow the bus into that spot, paddock place.
Yeah.
And so the boys are going to get a little bit of love taking the NASCAR or taking the racing bus. I don't want to say NASCAR. I don't know
IndyCar.
I don't know if there's any bad blood or rivalry between like the Grand Prix and like NASCAR or some shit like that. So we'll just stay out of it. But our racing bus at this racing event. But yeah, you can get tickets. I'm sure it's going to be huge. Any racing coming to Nashville, I think this is the city for it. But the boys are going to be there. So if I'm around, I'm going to be there. We're going to have all the boys there. It's going to be a good fun time. Speaking of being outdoors and everything else, there's been a lot of people wondering what's going to happen with the tailgates this year, watch parties, everything else. We got good shit in the works, boys. And there's no restrictions as of now. You never know what could happen in the pandemic that's still, you know, going on. But as of right now, there's no restrictions. We're going to be on Broadway. We're going to have the bus parked on Broadway. We're going to be at Acme for, I believe, every home game. Maybe one of the preseason games. We have a meeting later this week about it. Maybe it's fucking today, and I haven't looked at my calendar yet. But we're collabing, Barstool, being at Acme Feed and Seed, just like we were last year. But again, there's no real restrictions. We're going to have the bus on Broadway, and we're going to have a lot of cool shit. Might be able to take photos with the bus, maybe not. But for watch parties, tailgates, pre-gaming, all that shit, we're going to have a lot of giveaways happening. We're going to be throwing banger-ass parties, and we're going to be rooting for the boys. And until I'm on another team, I'm obviously for the fucking boys here in Nashville. If I go somewhere else, I'm for the boys wherever I'm at. Yep. Like when I was on the Raiders, I was for the Raider boys. You know what I mean? I wanted to drag the Titans when they came to town because you want to beat, you know, the guys that are perceived as like, you know, your family member, your brother's coming to the town. You just want to drag them. Obviously, it didn't go that way. They went off on us, and AJ had a little, you know, career game. Yeah. He's only played 2 years, but it's all good. Anything else in the housekeeping? I'm going to need you to keep this up more so than the time thing.
You're good.
The Raw Room Cookout, guys, it's been a good time. The last couple weeks, it's been head on a swivel week. The boys have been recording bus stop episodes, or I don't even, what do you call that? Episodes, little mini concerts.
Sessions,
yeah. Sessions, bus stop sessions. There you go. Thank God. Thank God for Alex. But we recorded like 12 bus stop sessions. We recorded like 7 podcasts. I mean, we didn't know which way was up. We're doing this Feeding Nashville. By the way, get your tickets, Ticketmaster. That's going to be on August 3rd down in Franklin. It's going to be awesome. Incredible lineup of country artists.
Brand new venue.
Yeah, brand new venue. It's going to be the first big venue the first event that they've had there. So it's going to be awesome. But between the bus stop sessions, podcasting, and doing all this content for Feeding Nashville, dude, the boys' head has been on a swivel. You know, especially with Taylor coming up because we knew we weren't going to have him after this past week that we just had. But we did content with Thomas Rhett, Tyler Hubbard, and we got some cool interviews on the bus that's going to kind of embody what Feeding Nashville is about. So that get your tickets at that shit. Over the weekend, got to enjoy Raw Room Cookout. Shout out the Raw Room Podcast by my boy Darren Bates and his co-host. Fuck, I'm dropping it. JC.
Collins.
JC Collins. Is that it? JC Collins? But Raw Room, you can go and subscribe to those dudes. Another active NFL player podcast. But I got invited to the cookout. Anytime you're a white boy and you get invited to the cookout, you are a certified fucking white boy. That is like the stamp of approval, especially when I tweet it and then he wants to quote tweet and say, hey, he's certified. It's official now. Anytime you get that cookout invite, I mean, we were eating, you know, cheap hot dogs and burgers. I'm talking slices of cheese, stuff that I haven't eaten since the old hot dog and applesauce days. You know what I mean? But it was a great time. It was a great time. But I think that's all the housekeeping things that we have. Here we go. Here's where we do an ad read. Shout out BetterHelp. As always, no free shout outs. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Life is full of stressors. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have. Your life is probably stressful. I know for myself, listen, I'm newly married. Something that my wife and I did before getting married is we did some premarital counseling. We had heard from a lot of friends of ours that it was like a game changer for them. Not that their relationships were in a bad place and not that our relationship was awesome. But you know, we went through this premarital counseling and we got a lot from it. Alex, you guys did. I heard on the pod you did with Taylor.
Yeah. You guys, I wish we had better help when we got married. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. It was phenomenal, dude. And you may not be, what is it? You may not be feeling down and out and depressed or like you, like you're at a total loss, but if your stress is high, your temper is shorter than usual, or even if you're starting to feel strain in any of your relationships, you could probably use the chance to unload. Unload the stress and get it out. Talk to someone who's completely unbiased about your life, someone who isn't going to judge you or take sides on anything. The reason I think that's imperative and super important is anytime you're sitting with a close friend or a family member and you guys are talking advice, you always have an emotional investment in that person. So whatever advice you have for them or advice you get from them, you're going to feel it skewed because you have your own preconceived notions of it. If you're sitting with somebody who is like a third party, or you know, the whole quote, you can't read the directions when you're inside the box. When you get that outsider perspective and where you can talk to this person and get different philosophies, different sets of advice, or just talk yourself through an entire situation where you can't escape it except talking to them, BetterHelp is customized for that. It's also online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't even have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. See if it's for you. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/bussin. That's BETTERHELP.com/bussin. What do we got next, boys?
That is Jalen Collins, by the way.
Jalen Collins.
Probably goes by JC, like you said.
JC, yeah. Yes. My fault, JC, for doing that. NIL update. Alabama quarterback Bryce Young is approaching $1 million in endorsement deals.
Crazy.
Says Coach Nick Saban. Let's play both sides. Let's play pros and cons to this NIL game. Because I have thoughts on both sides. Like, I understand both sides. Like, I pull up. What do you got? I pulled up in my house and I'm listening to that voiceover that I did for Nebraska, their black shirt video that they did. And I'm pulling up and I'm literally thinking in my head, I'm not doing this voiceover unless Bussin' with the Boys happens. I'm not doing some of this stuff that I'm not doing Bussin' with the Boys unless I'm somebody who wanted to take control of kind of where my status and platform was playing in the NFL and everything else. That's why I kind of wanted to do it. Like, I knew I had the boys, we always had really good conversations, and I wanted to kind of use the platform I had to make a podcast and the show. And I think a lot of that stuff is driven off taking control of like my NIL, right? I'm not in college, of course, but I think guys, athletes are starting to see the opportunities that they have outside of football, using football to drive, you know, these other things. And also, like, you see stuff to where a quarterback is now making $1 million without playing it down, and what that dynamic could be like in a locker room, like on Raw Room. AJ Brown went and sat in on Raw Room yesterday. I'm not sure when that episode will come out for them, but they were kind of talking about it. And AJ had a stance to where he thought it was it's going to kind of ruin college football. And I've heard people say that. And at first I'm kind of thinking, like, how does it, you know, how much does it ruin college football? I do think it's going to look very different in a few years. Honestly, it's looking different now with all these reports coming out. But essentially what AJ was saying, or what they were talking about, was that it just adds, like, you already have enough distraction when you're in college. Like, you're already trying to figure out and balance your, well, you know, you'll get in this thing soon enough, Alex. But you essentially have enough distraction figuring out class scheduling, everything else. And when you're in a culture growing up to where your families want to grab at you and ask for money and expect you to send them the Pell Grant home, any scholarship check money. I had teammates that were like that going in college, whatever leftover that they might've had from their scholarship check, they had to send it home to their parents. So you can only imagine some of the more distraction that might come involved, in that world where you're making, you know, a lot more money as a student athlete, especially if you come from a place where you're going to have more distraction with family members and relatives and everybody else kind of reaching at you. And it's just going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds, because you're going to have a quarterback now. Like, when you're in college, Alex, and, you know, chime in at any time, but when you're in college, you're kind of figuring out, you're learning the process. Like, we had Bo on, and that the dude molded my brain. It was hard work. It was, you know, it was process. It was never results. It was always competing every day. Like, you weren't just going to go to class. You're going to be an all the time guy. You guys will hear it all there. But this dude molded my brain. Him and our strength coach, Coach Dobbs, and those are the people that kind of, you come into that world, you get recruited as a 4-star, you get recruited and you get pampered. You get into college and you got to kind of get de-recruited because you don't want to drink your own Kool-Aid. So you got to learn the hard way. You're doing hard-ass workouts. You're strict, you're disciplined. People telling you where to go. And when you mess up, you have hard lessons to where they sit you down and give you advice on why it is that way. Because when you get in the real world, they don't give a shit if you're late, if you do X, you do Y, you do Z. It's this way or the highway type of thing. And you kind of learn in that mold. Now, when you start throwing money and potentially 7 figures into this stuff and you're complaining with the boys, like your camaraderie with the boys, you go through a hard workout. If you're somebody making a shitload of money, there's some resentment that can come in the locker room. Oh, bro, you don't have to do this. You're making X amount of money. You might have somebody who is making a shitload of money and they feel like they don't have to do a workout now. Maybe they feel like they're a pro already. To where they can, there's some new dynamics that can start to enter in the locker room that was so pure before NIL comes involved. But I'm also a believer in the NIL, in the NIL model, because I know how much money gets made, and I do know that a free ride and everything else doesn't take care of you after it's all said and done. Like, fortunately, I've been able to play for a while in the NFL, but I just know for guys, anything you could have made, regardless if it's an extra $50 a month, goes a ways. Just because you just don't, after rent and expenses and everything else, you really don't have a whole lot of money. You might get the Pell Grant every now and then to where that's a little fluff, but you go and spend it at the mall. Like, you just don't. It's going to be interesting how it all unfolds. Alex, you're back there kind of nodding and wanting to get in. What are your thoughts?
There's a ton of ways to come at this, obviously. Like, I'm a big fan of, you shouldn't be able to tell people where they can or can't make money. That pisses me off, because these kids have worked their whole lives to get to this opportunity where they're playing sports at a high level. They're on TV every week. How bad does that suck that their jersey sales go out and they don't see anything for it? How bad does it suck that they have brands reaching out to them wanting to do things with them and they've had to say no, or couldn't say yes to somebody covering their dinner at the local restaurant or something like that? Like, those are all violations up until this NIL thing has now happened. And so it's really difficult to look at it, because you can't really like pick one angle. But like the angle you were just saying about the purity of the sport, that'll definitely change locker room dynamics. But that's already happening in high school. Like, there's high school basketball kids with 5 million Instagram followers. That's money at the end of the day. And I don't know why it took this long for the NCAA to pivot on this. I guess probably just because they are that big and they do have so much leverage when it comes to control of the sports. But these athletes at a very young age, 15, 16 years old, are going to start to come into management who is able to direct them to navigate these waters, to be able to do brand partnerships, to be able to do endorsement deals, et cetera. And I think that's great, because you're creating wealth in these kids at a younger age, which, yes, there will be some people who abuse that and do terrible things with the money,
which happens no matter what.
Right. You can't control that. But right. I think the majority, that sets up families even earlier. You know, what do you say to the kid who comes out of a bad area, who's trying to play football? And he would love it if he could start sending checks home at 16 years old instead of waiting until he's 23. I think that can change infrastructure of, you know, local economies if we really want to go that far.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
That's well said, by the way. Like, Alex Legos Creative.
I love all the company shout outs.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of ways to go about it. But I think, like, looking at it from people get mad about it as like a privilege thing where it's like, oh, they already get a free education. But, and it's like, yeah, but what does that do? You can play in a bowl game and then be an accountant.
I think that's the laziest argument is that they get a free education. Like, yeah, of course that person arguing probably wishes they could have had a free education. Like, that's just how that shit works. It's thinking that athletes are so taken care of because they have a scholarship.
That's not the case at all.
Right. Like, it's more than a full-time job. Yeah. It's more than a full-time job. I know Taylor went into detail about how those schedules look like, but you're doing so much more and doing class and expected to perform in your classroom. Obviously, everyone's expected to perform, but I'm talking, you're up in the meeting. Like, we have some good stories when Bo comes on, because we had the highest GPA as a team in the history of Nebraska because there was an expectation there. But you're juggling so many things as a kid. I think that's the laziest argument when people are like, oh, but you got a scholarship offer.
It's the one thing that I say that I learned from school is, like, people are like, do you use your degree at all? It's like, sure, but what I really learned was time management and delegation and the ability to multitask when needed and prioritize what I need to get done. And it's because that schedule is so grueling. You have to learn how to figure that stuff out before most other people do.
Yeah, and and all that stuff that you said about all that stuff, I'm just thinking, I mean, yeah, that's fucking true. He's right about that stuff, because it kind of just depends on the angle you go about it. Like, if you're old school thinking about the purity of the sport, I guess I can only speak from my experience of being in the, you can too, of being in the locker rooms and knowing how that dynamic is. But it's been what, almost 10 years since I've been in that locker room. Like, right. Who knows what the dynamic is now? Like, I don't know.
Right.
Like, maybe there'll be some pivots and they're doing some good things. I assume a guy like Nick Saban, who comes out and says something like that, like, you know, he's going to have his team. Like, he's the GOAT coach in college football. Like, no matter what, at the end of the day, when you say it just adds more distraction and everything else, to play devil's advocate to that, the ones who want to be professional athletes are going to still be professional athletes. Bingo. Like, they understand what they're, how to prioritize. Like Deion Sanders says, baby, keep the main thing the main thing. And I think that's essentially like those kids will do. And anybody else, anybody who's fugazi about it and think they've made it in college by making a little bit of money, that money runs out very fast.
Don't you think this will also make it easier for pro organizations to scout, because now players are already dealing with the,
they understand how they're balancing and juggling mm-hmm. both things, yeah. juggling the whole world.
So you don't have to sign a guy and see if they pan out that year one when they sign a check and they start to do whatever they want with their money. You now already know how they're going to handle that stuff.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a good point. And ultimately too, like, and to touch on the thing where people talk about, oh, they have a scholarship and this and that, they should focus on playing football and this and the other. When you're in college and you're a college student, you're taught and everything else to equip yourself as much as possible. Add whatever you can to the resume. So you have a lot of different skills and abilities. And once you've kind of gotten good at one, you know, you get swayed into do another direction to add another club to your bag. Mm-hmm. And when you're telling athletes to stick to their sport and everything else, like, that's essentially it's going away from the mindset that college students get taught anyway. To equip your resume as much as possible, to add, you know, the dynamic of social media, whether we like it or not, like, social media is here to stay. Mm-hmm. Like, branding and all this stuff, like, that's part of what the resume is going to be now. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know what it's going to look like. What do you got?
I was going to say, and I think a major part of that too is like just this simple fact that non-student athletes are able to profit off of anything they decide to start as a business or a brand or whatever while they are still students, but student athletes are not.
Exactly.
Like, that's the simple, like, contradiction that I've always looked at and been like, why can the kid who plays trumpet go make money playing trumpet, but I can't go make money teaching baseball camps, or, you know what I mean?
Like, exactly. Right. And even when you're in a lane, or even when you're in an internship or a job, more so when you have a job already, you're still taught to equip yourself to transition to another job, mm-hmm. whether it's in a different lane or not. But you want athletes to stay in this one particular lane until that lane is done and gone. And then they don't know what they want to do because they had to focus so much in this one thing. That's why the whole, you know, don't focus on any kind of plan B because it deters from plan A. Like, I'm not as much a believer in that. I do believe you got to be obsessive about stuff to become great at it. Like, if you want that to be your field, like, yes, you need to hone in on those things. But at the same time, you do need to start. You always need to be thinking of some kind of plan B because you need some kind of pivot.
Do you think that this could ever evolve to the point of, like, Nebraska signs Will Compton? You're highly touted out of high school. You're ready to come in here and do work. We want to offer you equity in the Husker brand. Do you think it could ever get there?
To where an athlete gets equity in the Husker brand?
Maybe in Husker merch sales this year.
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because you're in and out within a few years. Like, you're giving up equity for something that's not going to be a mainstay forever. You don't know how that athlete's going to perform throughout their career. Mm-hmm. They could be a total bust and you gave a percent away in equity.
We do that in the, well, we don't do the equity thing with organizations and the pros, but we invest, and then sometimes things don't pan out. You know what I mean? I just think it's interesting how many more avenues are now open now, and to see if universities decide to jump on board and try to think creatively when it comes to how to compensate.
They're going
to
think creatively.
Maybe.
But I don't think it gets to a point where you give away equity in something. Possibly like a split revenue percentage, with like a percentage or something to where it's all revenue based.
Yes.
But not equity. I think that's.
Yeah, you're not getting equity in Nebraska.
And if they. Yeah. And if they do, someone needs to fucking check whoever's doing that deal, because that is a dumb fucking deal.
But you think like a revenue share of like general Nebraska gear, maybe you get a 0.5% for the next 3 years while you're here?
As far as all merch?
Sure.
Do I think it'll go that way? I don't know. I think there's going to be stuff laid out. Like, I think Nebraska themselves are going to be able to do, now I'm not sure, but do deals with their student athletes, right? To where they can give them a portion of their number or some shit. They can't.
I don't think so.
So yeah. Brands can, but the schools can't?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think the university.
Okay.
So then the university can't sit here and pay on the side and up the deal. But it's gonna get wild. Because think about it. Think if you're in the Nebraska department right now, you're thinking who are all of our close relationships with as far as brand partners and everything else that we do marketing wise. You get on the horn with them and you finagle it by talking to them about what you can do for X recruit or X athlete. And you can pump money that way.
Yeah.
To where it's like, hey, this is who we want to target. This is who we'd like to recruit. Or this is, how to play that game. I think it's just going to get very interesting until there's some kind of just red tape, for lack of a better term, until there's some kind of controlling aspect. But then again, you want it to kind of be the free market. But to control what schools and the business side of it does from that administrative standpoint.
So going off of that, do you think that as they figure this out that there will be new jobs under coaching staff or universities to help players work with this money? Since if they go through open doors and they're not getting agents and all that, who's going to control? Yeah, they need guidance.
Right. I think, there'll be new positions in like compliance and the compliance departments. And there's going to be jobs added, I think, to the universities for that particular thing. So that way you can limit distraction as much as possible. Because from a coaching and competitive standpoint, that's ultimately what has to happen, is you want to limit distractions to where it's not like wildfire. You know, again, going off Bamba and Saban, like, you know that they've probably had team meetings already talking about all this stuff and saying we're going to have people in place, so you don't feel like there. I mean, there's agents hitting guys' phones up right now. You know what I mean? Like, even for Bussing with the Boys, like talking about the Bussing athlete stuff, there's people hitting up like, hey, what do you think Barstool's going to do? And that's from an angle of how do I work it for the athletes that I'm probably going to start trying to recruit? So you're going to have people blowing up your phone to where you want those new jobs and those people in place that players can trust, that you know things are going to be handled correctly, so you can limit those off-field distractions.
How do you think, so in my opinion, Nick Saban saying that out loud, saying that his quarterback is making near seven figures, that's a recruiting tool. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, so now do you think that, obviously recruiting is going to be different, but when he goes and visits at home, is that the number one conversation now?
It's not the number one, but it's a conversation. If you're sitting in a kid's home, dude, and number one, so if you're Nick Saban, I assume this is how Nick is. Like, you've seen his Zoom videos of how he recruits players. Like, you want motherfuckers who want to play football. So, you know, if questions are asked too much about NIL and making money, I'm sure Saban or somebody else is going to sit there and leave that house and be like, hey, this ain't our guy, pal.
Yeah,
like, this ain't our guy.
He seems like somebody that is against it and for it, kind of like how you were saying, approach depending on what angle you take, because, as he says, rat poison. That's more rat poison. But yeah, he's definitely had that meeting of this, we're not having this bullshit.
Yeah, I think any great coach and any great leader like Saban is not going to just have some stance either way. It's going to be like, you know, there's pros and cons to both, but let's reel in all the information, all the data before we start going nuts about all this shit.
And the other side of that conversation would be like a Kentucky basketball, who's like, you're just coming for 1 year. We don't care. We're just going to win the national championship this year. So show up. We'll also hook you up with Nike while you're here. And so that, you know what I mean? Like, schools like that who are not trying to build like a 3 year franchise basically while a player is there, they're more so looking at it as a one and done. They could start to pitch it like that, where they bring
Nike with them to the home visit. Yeah, and basketball is different with football. Right. Like, you could do more so that, like, you know, the dude's gonna ball regardless. Like, it's just gonna be interesting, man.
You're gonna find out what coaches are good coaches and who's gonna let this shit go crazy.
Right. You'll see which coaches adapt, just like you're gonna see how players adapt to this all. Like, I do think, like, guys are like, do you think, you know, it's going to hurt X, Y, and Z about guys going to the league? Those dudes who play themselves out of the league because they care more about what's going on off the field. Like, okay, well, you're not making it the priority anyway. That's not actually what you want to do. Because the ones who actually want to do it and play in the NFL, they're going to fucking keep football the main focus.
Which brand would you have wanted to sign with if you're in school right now? Who would be your first, like, wow, I want to lock in with them?
Bussing with the Boys?
Yeah, good pick. And speaking of, Bussing Athletes is in the works.
Oh, yes, that is true. Bussing Athletes, Bus U, Bussin University. Who knows what we're going to do? We're going to do something. It's trying to figure out what we want to do. Obviously, you have Dave Portnoy come out with his video, which is, you know, Barstool to a T. He did a great job capitalizing on that stuff to where you got Barstool Athlete and all the bios and everything like that. And so we had how many, like several hundred athletes reach out about, hey, can we do? Yeah. And it's like, yo, we just don't have the same infrastructure as a bar. We can't just be slinging this merch everywhere for you guys to rep this and that. We need to figure out what we want to do. Audie and Blake, the Open Doors crew that was on here, they're like, what do you want your Bussin athlete to embody? Like, what does it look like for you? And so I think like the question kind of starts there to when we're kind of figuring it out. Like, is it a select crew? Is it some linemen and some backers? Is it like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it looks like, especially when we're juggling all these other things. Like, we don't have, you know, just a bunch of people and white collars running around figuring out all of these business moves for us. Like, we have to take time to sit and talk about it and what that it looks like. But there is something coming with Bussin athletes. Bus you, I don't know. I do know I want it to be beneficial for both sides. I don't, you know, just listen, you guys want merchandise? I'm sure we can hook you guys up, some of you, with some merchandise. It's just hard. It's just hard to kind of juggle all that shit. Do you have any thoughts about what you would like it to look like?
Yeah, I don't know how much you want to go open on here. I like the linemen and the D-backs to start. I think that's really cool because that's where you guys come
defense, from. Linebackers, not D-backs.
I'm sorry, linebackers to start. Yeah, I think that's a great place to start and keep it select because, people are grabbing up athletes right now and it becomes less special.
Right.
Because I think if you keep it select, you keep it special and you can do more with those athletes too.
Yeah, I would personally like to help whatever athletes are with us too. Mm-hmm. Like, give some perspective on it all. Like, you know, I don't know if it's like a like mentoring or anything like that, but I would like to actually work with the athletes mm-hmm. to where it's like, yeah, well, obviously you'll get hooked up with merch and shit like that. But if there's something we can do, or maybe it's a segment, it's something we want to produce up with them in the off season or something like that, to mm-hmm. where they can also benefit off that as well, to where you actually feel like a partner with us. Like, you're one of the boys. I know we've talked about rumors going around that we might be doing a spring ball tour. Mm-hmm. So there's stuff Taylor and I've talked about. And again, like, just juggling all the shit that's going on, it's kind of hard to figure out exactly what, but we will have something for the Bussin, for the Bussin athletes. Let's take a minute and read an ad. Shout out Roman, no free shout outs. Most guys have tried different ways to last longer, but thinking about baseball doesn't always work. Or your grandma or any of the old folk. I try and lift. Sometimes when I'll try to laugh longer, I'll try and like lift the old sack. Like, you're doing like Kegels. I've heard that works. It's still yet to work for me. You're about 10 seconds in, you're already about to disappoint them. You know what I mean? The folks at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to lasting sex. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast acting, but don't require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. This is true. They sent us some product. It's in like the in-laws, they were in town, but it was in this little black packaging that had no label on it, so you don't know where it's from. Super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry first, boys, and you're good to go. Plain and simple. Go to GetRoman.com/Bussin. You can get your first month of swipes for just $5. When you choose a monthly plan, that's GetRoman.com/Bussin. Texas and Oklahoma move into the SEC. I mean, good move, bad move. Oklahoma, they're getting better. Texas, not so much. You go from the Big 12, not even winning the Big 12, and now you want to go get drug in the SEC? What do you mean it's not about football for them anymore? What do you got, Garrett? It's all about that money?
It's all about the money. I mean, yeah. Everything is about money now. If they thought they could compete, they'd be in the playoffs the last couple of years, but
yeah, it is. It is a money move. I know I'm just trying to be a childish little girl and talk shit about Texas football.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. I mean, they're not that great. Remember, you can't do horns down. It's illegal. You got to do sideways, or you got to like put it up and shoot the gun Or a squirt gun. It's a squirt gun. It's not a real gun. Yeah. Just for the athletes that use it during the, they can explain to the referees it's a squirt gun. But I think recruiting wise, if Oklahoma and Texas go to the SEC, moves have to be made by these other conferences. Because SEC honestly could essentially become their own league. Like as painful it is for me to say shit like that, the SEC get some of these big name schools to join them. Like you're just in the South, man.
Do you think it's ruining the tradition of college football?
Yeah, I mean, all this stuff essentially is, right? But just like the Big Eight go becomes the Big Ten and, like, you know, shit changes and over time it becomes the new norm. So it's going to become the new tradition, you know, a decade from now, like, say this happens, a decade or two from now, like, it's going to seem like this is the tradition. So, you know, just like everything, the shit'll adapt. But I tell you what, if Oklahoma and Texas joins, the Big 12 better be throwing whatever the fuck they can at Texas and Oklahoma to stay. I think they've already done stuff. I think they've already tried offering them more. I saw people kind of making fun of the Big 12, like that girlfriend that Texas doesn't want, but they're trying to persuade them to come back into their arms. But the Big 12 does need to do whatever they can to retain them. I think if they leave, if you're in the Big 12, a lot of your Southern recruiting kind of changes. Like now everybody in the South can kind of stay in the South. Like that is a big thing. I thought that damaged Nebraska going to the Big 10, as I've explained it before. I don't know which podcast, CTE. I don't know if it's one that you're going to listen to down the road. But essentially when we went to the Big 10, you are not able to recruit Texas as much anymore because you're sitting in those houses. You're trying to tell these kids, like, you have all these schools in Texas. How many are there? Like 5, 6? I could be butchering that. But like Texas Tech, A&M, TCU, Baylor, Texas. I mean, you have all these schools that you could sit down and recruit kids and say you're going to play a few times a year down in South. And, you know, the family, the parents, they felt good about it because their longest trip would probably be to Nebraska. Now Nebraska's Texas, if you're down South, your closest trip is now Nebraska, not the other way around. And now you're competing with everybody in the Northeast. And if you're in the Northeast getting recruited heavy, why are you going to pick Nebraska over Ohio State, Michigan? I mean, the Ohio State's Michigan, Wisconsin, Michigan State, like those guys, they got it locked in. Like, why not even go to Iowa overnight? Like, that's fucking painful for me to say. But why would you go even farther to now? Nebraska is the farthest trip if you're in the Northeast. And Nebraska hasn't been performing like we have in the past to merit, like, getting those kids there. So recruiting in Nebraska is very difficult. So I felt like that hurt us going to the Big Ten. And I say that because it can kind of be a situation in the Big 12. Now you don't have these Texas, you don't have these South schools like Oklahoma and Texas that are in the Big 12. You're kind of taking juggernauts historically and moving them to the premier, you know, arguably Big Ten's in there too, but the premier conference in college football. And now the SEC is just going to have all the leverage and all the power. You could break away and you could become your own fucking league.
Do you think with them joining the SEC, that'll help even the playing field in the SEC? Whereas,
yeah, potentially. I mean, if you're Oklahoma and Texas, you're going to get some more recruiting. I feel like more recruiting benefit because now you're going to be like, yo, we're in the best conference. All the little, brochures, they probably don't use brochures anymore because it's not fucking 1990. But the brochures that are going to say, like, you know, number one conference in America, this, that, these, all these NFL players have went here.
Well, I mean, the kids are now going to have the SEC patch on their jersey and NILs in place.
Yeah. Yeah. No, if that happens, I saw somewhere where the SEC would look at breaking it up in 4 different, like, little divisions. Which essentially is like you're becoming like the NFL. You're becoming your own league. If they go to the SEC, it's gonna be crazy to see how the rest of the
they still need 11. They need 11 votes, right, from SEC schools to come in. And Texas A&M was a hard no.
Yeah, they don't want those boys to come in because they get the recruiting benefits from it. To tell the ones who they compete with Texas, hey, we're in the SEC. SEC is better than the Big 12. NFL memo on vaccinations. This has been a hot topic. NFL released a memo last week that just basically set the world on fire. And Twitter did what it always does, dude. became a bunch of monkeys and just throwing shit at each other. It's just who can throw which feces at each other. The media did its thing, dropped a few tidbits on what the NFL meant by the memo, and just lit everything on fire. And like media and everybody does, they make every problem your own problem in some way or fashion. People are arguing about the wrong fucking thing when it comes to all this, you know, stuff going on. At the end of the day, J.C. Treader, our president with the NFLPA, he actually wrote and came out with an article today clearing up the facts on the COVID protocols. And essentially what it says is nothing has changed. Like nothing last year. The protocol last year worked. No games were canceled. The protocols that were implemented last year are nearly identical. The fines are the same. The mask wearing, physical distancing, testing, and contact tracing are the same. Yes, there are changes to how vaccinated players can move about the building and do their jobs, but that is based on data and science. So if you're vaccinated, you don't have to get tested every day. That's a benefit to getting vaccinated. Like, guys are essentially going to have to make their own decision and be like, yo, am I going to want to go in at 6 a.m. every day and get tested before meetings start or catch 30 minutes extra sleep? Traveling on the road, vaccinated players, I'm sure, are going to be able to go out and eat if they want to when they're at an away game. Like, go out with the boys, whoever's vaccinated, and break some bread before the game the next day. Unvaccinated players are probably not going to get to do that. They're probably going to have to get to their hotel room, have all the contact tracing on, and essentially be in their room. There were some questions that were asked in this article. JC, he does a great job laying this out, and we will bring it up for you on our YouTube. What will happen? Hang on. Go up to one of the first questions. Is the vaccine mandatory for NFL players? No. Though we believe the vaccine is both safe and effective, players have the choice whether to take it or not. Unlike among the NFL coaching ranks or in other businesses, the vaccine is not mandated for NFL players. Again, you can make your own decision about it. Is it possible for games to be postponed this year? Yes. The NFL made it clear it does not intend to add another week to the schedule. That should not be a problem, as we were able to play every game last year within our normal season calendar. The threat of missed game checks is matched by the threat of lost revenue by NFL owners. So we all have a vested interest in playing another complete season. And at the end of the day, what everybody wants, fans, players, coaches, owners, the entire NFL, both sides of it, everyone wants to play an entire season and crown a Super Bowl champion at the end of the year. That's what everyone wants. So we're essentially using the same protocols as last year. And whether or not you agree with them, like, that's just your own shit. That's your own prerogative. If you're the NFL and you're a business, you're doing whatever you can to put up the red tape needed to protect your bottom line. That's just the way business works. That's the way the world works. Are players going to be upset about it? Yes. Am I sitting here, do I wish it benefited the players more? Yes, I do. But that's just the way it is. And essentially, if you're not vaccinated, you're going to have to move like it was 2020. If you're unvaccinated, you're going to have to move like it was 2020. If you're vaccinated, you're going to have a new set of benefits, which inclines players to get vaccinated. Is the NFL going to make it hard? Yeah, they are. And then they're going to put out like a memo like they did last week to cause chaos and sit back in their chairs in their white collar and watch the world burn and let everybody throw feces at each other like we're in a zoo and mad trying to implement our own problems on everybody else. That's basically what happened last week. The bottom line in this article, the message that needs to be conveyed to the entire NFL community is very simple. We are still in a pandemic. And we do need to work together to make it through another complete season. Given the rise in cases and the emerging data on how the vaccines hold up and the virus's variants, we should expect the unexpected. So it's just all about safety, man, and getting the boys paid and doing it in a safe way. And whether or not you jive with it, you know, that's your own thing. But to clear the air, nothing is different from last year. So I was a little victim to it last week. I'm texting Dennis Kelly, the player rep for the Titans. Like, yo, Dennis, what the fuck? And he was like, essentially nothing's changed, comp. Like, you know, don't buy into everything going on right now. Like, we played every game last year. Like, yes, last year we were on the phone. If we had to forfeit a game, you weren't going to get paid. Fortunately, we didn't have to do it. But anyway, that's all the stuff on the vaccination talk. I hate kind of like, you know, and if everybody wants to know if I'm vaccinated, HIPAA, dude. I don't have to fucking tell you. Hey, what did Dak Prescott do? He came, you know, he had his stance and he said, like, you know, I don't have to tell you because of HIPAA violations. Then people were, you know, fucking pissed and, you know, throwing shit at each other again there. But anyway, do your thing, man. Do what you got to do. If you want to play football, then play football. If you don't want to be vaccinated, don't get vaccinated, but follow the fucking rules and get paid. That's all it is.
You see what Jerry Jones said last week?
No, what did old Jerry say?
After we potted last week, he came out and said this.
I'd do anything known to man to get to a... Oh, shit. I'd do anything known to man to get to a Super Bowl. That's a fact. So my man's not even talking about winning a Super Bowl.
Just get there. Just get to the dance.
It sounds like he needs to be on Bussin' with the Boys, and we need to ask him the hot questions. Yeah. Are you willing to go as far as cutting that piece off? Like, what? Like, let's...
Known to man?
He doesn't understand how much fun the internet can have with this. Or he does because he's a genius, and he knows a lot of tread is going to come from this. A lot of traffic is going to come from a statement like that.
You need to put that Vrabel clip under that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Vrabel, so what jumped this podcast off in our first year was when Vrabel talked about cutting his dick off for a Super Bowl. He said, been married 20 years. You guys will obviously play the clip. I'm sure Bloss is mad that I'm still explaining it. Bloss, what would you do for the 49ers to win a Super Bowl? Have you thought about it?
No, I don't think I get nothing out of it other than seeing the enjoyment of seeing my team win, but I mean, it's not worth cutting my own penis off. I mean, if I got a Super Bowl ring, now we're talking something different.
Would you kiss a dude
for the Niners to win a Super Bowl?
And if you're gay, you want to be gay. We're not against gays. I just know Bloss is straight. Would you kiss a dude?
No, I wouldn't. Mm-mm.
You wouldn't peck him on the mouth?
No, I wouldn't benefit from it. I don't benefit from the 49ers winning a Super Bowl other than being a fan.
All you got to do is it would be peck, let's say, Alex on the mouth, and the 49ers are going to win a Super Bowl this year. You wouldn't do that for the team?
No, I mean, I love Alex a lot. We are. But not like that. But again, if you put a Super Bowl ring on my finger, that changes everything. There's no limit to what I would do. Hey, because with a couple thousand
would
dollars...
Would you kiss a dude to win a Super Bowl?
So me being on the team is what you're talking about?
Oh, you're saying be on the team to have a ring. Yeah. My fault.
Yeah. That's this whole argument. Like, as a fan, no, I don't care. I'm not going to go kiss somebody. I'm not going to go cut my penis off for a Super Bowl as a fan. Because I get nothing other than, like, hey, my team won the Super Bowl. And guess what? When the next year starts over, everybody's talking about, like, nobody cares what happened last year. Because that's the truth. But you put a couple diamonds on my finger, a little bit different.
I'd kiss a dude for somebody to win a Super Bowl.
So, Cowboys, you're a Cowboys fan.
Hang on. You can't just throw that out there lightly. Like, hey. I was a Cowboys fan growing up.
On the record,
did I root against my own team when I was a rookie on the Washington football team? I did. But that's only because we were out of the playoff run. And I wanted Dez and the boys, Tony Romo and the boys, to have momentum going into the playoffs. So I didn't want us to beat them. But I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan like now. I think it'd be sick to play on them now because then you're kind of like full circle, right? But come on now. Don't just throw that around. Are you asking like, yeah, for the Titans to win a Super Bowl comp, all you got to do is kiss somebody on the mouth. Kiss a dude on the mouth. I'd kiss a dude on the mouth, dude.
As a fan, not even on the team.
Don't give a shit. Yeah. We're talking about kissing somebody on the mouth. Shit's over with. I know who I am. People can have fun with it on the internet like they do with my haircut and everything else. Like,
if you and Taylor,
we'll make some good content from that shit.
If you and Taylor were still Titans... Yeah, I'd probably consider kissing somebody on the mouth so you could win.
Okay. I appreciate that, man. I can't continue down that path of this stuff going on. What do we have after that? Because I know we have some fan questions and stuff, and I want to get to that stuff for sure.
We could jump right into that now.
Yeah, let's jump to it. Do we have any ad reads that we need to hit?
Yeah. How about this one? Our boys at Cross Country Mortgage.
Cross Country Mortgage. Holy shit. This is a great brand, boys. Cross Country Mortgage is much like us at a Barstool, a people first group of people. And just like at Bussin' with the Boys, we are a podcast by the boys for the boys. We are dedicated to the fundamentals of mortgage lending, which results in a fast, convenient, and less stressful home financing or refinancing experience. Listen, rates are unbelievably low right now. Yes, buying a home is high, but the interest rates are low. Lock into a low interest rate, boys. Don't pay the bank more money than you need to. Our friends over at Cross Country Mortgage make it super simple to figure out how much you can save on a monthly basis and over the life of your loan. The numbers can be staggering, and you don't know how much you can save unless you actually talk to an expert and figure it out. Click here, swipe up to learn more about your refinance and connect with your team over at Cross Country Mortgage, who will make the process as painless and simple as possible and help you keep your money in your pocket so you can do fun things with it like go to the big game. if you're a homeowner and haven't refinanced recently, man, this is a grinder. You may leave thousands, if not tens of thousands, heck, who knows? Could be hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table over the life of the loan that could be working for you in other places, like your new man cave makeover, the stock market, a second investment, a second home purchase. If you want to become a real estate investor, or maybe you just have a boatload of cash in your pocket to go gamble on your favorite sports team. Let's see. Oh, shit. Don't. Just keep your composure. Call today for a fast free rate quote. Our partners will save you a ton of money. Call today and our friends at Cross Country Mortgage will give you free home valuation. That is free for you just calling. That is free to you just for calling. Don't miss the window as rates are expected to creep up. That is true based on my Get Rich Education podcast. Go to crosscountrymortgage.com/Barstool to learn more about your future home buying experience or refinance your current mortgage. Cross Country Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 3029, all loans subject to change, underwriting approval, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Hey, I truly almost crumbled. That was a deal. I honestly started looking all over the ad too. I'm just like, listen, you highlighted something and I just went to the red. I was like, let me just live here for a second. Okay. Some social media. I sent out a tweet. I sent out Instagram like we do every week to ask fans if you guys have any questions or to send in a video question. And to start with Twitter, shout out to our boy T Holmes 99. Can you talk a little bit about the sports psychology podcast and books you've read and listened to recently? You talked about it some on the pod you did with Mike. Also, what's your confidence level that you'll get a call to play this year? And would there ever be a situation where you choose building the success of the pod over playing? T Holmes 99, I appreciate your questions. Ty, I see your tie and you got the wolf emoji in there. So be a fucking wolf boss. So it looks like a couple parts in this question. Can you talk a little bit about sports psychology podcast books? All right. So if you've listened, you know, the first book I read to get into sports psychology was Mental Edge by Kenneth Baum. That is where I started to take a deep dive into your brain, working your brain to your advantage, compared to in relation to a disadvantage. Cause we always walk around. We're always seeking comfort. I mean, it's happening now, like still training to do everything else. You always got to have solid reminders, but day one Will Compton is going to be way more excited than day 30 Will Compton when it comes to performance, training, the grind, training camp, all the things, all the tools. So where it started with me was The Mental Edge by Kenneth Baum. I would say dive into that if you're into sports psychology. If you want to get more of something that's outside of the sports realm, the second book I got on was Compound Effect by Hardy. Damn, I hate that I'm butchering that. But the compound effect, like doing small things, like basically essentially creating new habits.
Darren Hardy.
There he is. Shout out the boy, Darren Hardy. The compound effect was the next book I read. And from there, like, yeah, there's books I dive into, but I get a lot of benefit out of listening to things as well. Obviously, I always take inspiration from Joe Rogan's inspirational stuff on YouTube. Tony Robbins was somebody that really gravitated me towards the whole psychology thing. And I don't want to butcher this because this was a while back. I think I did it a little bit when we were out golfing that one day. But Tony Robbins taught this four-corner chart. And essentially, if you're looking up here, you have belief, potential, action, results. And those are in four different corners. So if you're listening, the top left corner is belief. The top right corner is potential. Bottom right corner is action. Bottom left corner is results. And what Tony was essentially saying was just talking about how fear is such a motivator for us to either act or not act. It's all the same thing. We're getting over this fear, whether it's fear in our ability, fear of the unknown, feel of other perceptions and opinions that people might have of you that you carry with you. Whatever it is, whatever your fears are, this is a four-corner chart that I really jived with, that really turned shit around for me. But essentially, if you're somebody who has a lot of belief in who you are, let's start the other way. Let's say you don't have a lot of belief, right? And it doesn't matter what your mom, your dad, your coach, or anybody's telling you. Let's say you're a young kid in a sport and you don't have a lot of belief in yourself. So you have a little belief in your potential. Now, if you have a little belief in your potential, no matter what plan you're on, no matter what strategy you're implementing, no matter what practices you're doing, no matter what action steps you're taking, no matter what, how much action you think you're actually going to take, guys, audience, little, if any, you're not going to take a whole lot. No matter if you're showing up every day and still doing, you're like, you know, I just don't believe in my ability. I don't believe in what's going to come of this. I don't believe in this dietitian who's telling me X, Y, and Z. I don't believe in this coach that I'm using. I don't believe in what I'm reading right now that's going to get me out of my comfort zone. You're going to take little action. And when you get little action, when you take little action, how much result you think you're going to get? Little, if any. And then all that does is now draw a circle in this four corner chart. Your little action is going to create little result. And that little result is just going to feed your belief system that you already had. Like, see, I told you that shit didn't work out because so-and-so said it would. See, I told you your dad was bullshit. I told you a coach was bullshitting you here. I told you that article you read and that diet you did wasn't going to work because you had little belief. Whether if it was somebody telling you that, hey, I told you that wasn't going to work and you're carrying their perception with you, no matter what, if you got little fucking belief, it's not going to get done. Now, if in relation to that, say you have a lot of belief in who you are, right? And you believed in your potential. You believed in your ability. My own example coming from this, from Tony Robbins in this four corner chart, was pro day training for me because agents and scouts had me clocked at like a 4.8, 5.40. Low belief in myself, right? I mean, I went undrafted. So again, you weren't believed in. If I'm believing in what these people are fucking saying, I'm not going to take a lot of action and I'm going to get the result from that. That's going to say, hey, you know what? It didn't work out, but you got an opportunity to be in camp. Who can say that? To where I'm trying to lift my spirits in a different way, right? Like, it's all good. Like, it's the 1% of the 1%. Like, you played high-level college football. You were a starter at Nebraska. You at least performed at Pro Day. You got to be in a training camp, even if you didn't make it. You played on the preseason. Who can say they played in an NFL game? Like, you're doing all these things to justify the failure or the setback that you might have had, right? Now, fortunately, the boy did not believe in that bullshit. And I had a lot of belief in my potential at Pro Day and training and making a team. And yeah, there's the chart right there. And being of value to the roster, right? Like, I knew if I got my shot, I would take advantage of it some way, some form, somehow. And if you believe in your potential in whatever strategy you're trying to implement, whatever practices you're trying to implement, how much action you think you're going to take? A shitload. When you take a lot of action, how much result you think you're going to get? You're going to get some. You might not get a lot, but you're going to get some. You're going to get some that tells you, stay the course. Like, don't listen to the bullshit. Somebody might say, hey, you know, it's all good. Like, you know, are you surprised you didn't get a whole lot? Like, you got to block that shit out and realize that what you're doing, you can now look back on the action steps you were taking and sharpen it a little bit more. Live in on what mistakes were you making? Where were you coming up short? And then you just reevaluate your action steps. Still keep the same belief, the high potential, new action steps, and you're going to get more result. And it's just going to feed your ego or your belief that you are who you thought you were. And then you get to look back and, I mean, essentially we're all just creations of what we've decided to believe at some point in time. Yeah, genetics play a part. Natural selection takes its course. And from that, you got to pivot and figure out what your next move is going to be, right? That's what Busting with the Boys came about. You think I wasn't scared shitless to start Busting with the Boys and thinking what people might be saying about cutting dicks off coming on there? My agent called like, hey, let's not, you know, get too out of whack. Like with what you're saying, right? He's looking out for my best interest at heart. Like thinking about how my voice sounds and everybody else listening to my voice, right? Or whatever I'm saying and people think we're stupid and our rates start to go down. Like then you're kind of like, oh shit, that sucks. But fortunately, we got over that hurdle. We got through it and we're taking a shitload of action to create result from it. Alex, sorry for cutting you off. I knew you were leaning in there. The boy was on one right there and I was fired the fuck up, dude.
Yeah, I didn't want to cut you off. That's my bad. I was going to say you're like weaponizing confirmation bias.
Where
like you're looking for things that confirm what you already believe in yourself. So you're altering your belief system to say, I am this and I will be this if I do these things, doing those things. And then you're training your brain to look specifically for those positive results and focus on those instead of focusing on the shortcomings or negative results that might come even with that. So even though they're there, you've already primed your brain and your mentality in that mindset to be able to see those results in a positive light to encourage yourself instead of nitpicking at them or being sad that they didn't come out exactly as you wanted them to be.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
Well fucking said. That is true, because when you do let those little things creep into your mind about it, and it happens. Like, I'm not fucking perfect. I'm telling you, like, the hardest truth to find out is that this mental fortitude never ends. It's not ever going to end. Like, I was literally thinking the other day, even with the pod, it's like, you know, if stuff doesn't go out during the season, like, what's going to happen with the pod? And a little bit of doubt comes in. And when fear creeps in, it can kind of light a match, right? It kind of festers. You start to get a little anxiety. You start to think about things that haven't even happened that drive your next course of action. And, you know, you kind of got to stop yourself and just realize, like, this shit is never going to be done. It's just a constant journey. Like, even when you feel like you get on the other side, like, it's just never going to end. Like, people talk about playing in the NFL, like, yo, you did it. And it's like, absolutely. I felt like I've lived my little kid's dream, that 10-year-old Will Compton, that little kid that always wanted this to happen. And now when you're on the back nine, golf analogy for everybody listening, when you're on the back nine of it, you're kind of like, you got to figure out what's next, because you're not even, you know, knock on wood, I haven't even lived half my life. And it's just a constant process. So it's just feeding your mind the right way and guarding it, because you're going to get a lot of, you know, perspectives too. And I'm going off on a weird tangent. I don't even know if I'm answering this dude's fucking question. But podcasts and books that I've read, right now I'm reading 7 Spiritual Laws of Leadership. There's a book I want to pick up by Naval Rick. I butcher his last name every time.
Ravikant?
Yes. Say that.
Ravikant?
Ravikant.
That's how I'd say it.
Naval Ravikant. I'm listening to his podcast with Tim Ferriss. Check out his podcast with Tim Ferriss. I'm going to listen to him on Joe Rogan next. But Naval Ravikant has, like, you know, he's just big into philosophy and things like that. Like, I enjoy that shit, man, because I think your mental is absolutely everything. My highs and lows, I can literally dive in and understand, like, how I got certain places based on my belief system and my routines and my habits and everything else. And when something didn't work out for me, you create an identity within yourself, right? To where you transition and pivot based on the beliefs and philosophies that you carry, because we're all going to fail. Like, we're constantly failing. Like, I've done fucking network marketing. Like, show me somebody who hasn't failed at fucking network marketing when you weren't drinking that Kool-Aid back in the day, dude. Like, show me that.
Which one did you do?
USANA, the fucking supplements. I got finagled in the supplements. Now, nothing bad happened, but you're sitting there and then you learn about it and you're like, fuck, I'm in this goddamn, I'm part of this goddamn crowd, dude.
Was that during football? Was that...
Yeah, it was transitioning from college to the NFL, and it was one of those Plan B seeds that were implemented in my brain. And I drank the Kool-Aid. Like, I go hard at stuff. Like, but show me somebody who hasn't failed at network marketing, and I'll tell you somebody that's not a fucking hustler, dude. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that is a weird fucking grind. Hey, I can get your money. We got this product.
Yeah.
Why isn't it televised and marketed about, like, publicly everywhere? Like, oh, you do it through people. Here's this wine. It's going to cure cancer. If you get X amount of people, we'll all get rich. Oh, fuck. That shit is hilarious, dude. And then I also, like, there's a t-shirt shop with my boy MTs. That's actually still going locally. But there's a t-shirt shop I was trying to go partnerships in, and that just fizzled out. Like, that didn't work out. Like, you fail constantly. Like, I've been cut. Like, it just, none of it, you get nowhere without trial and tribulation, dude, without failures. Things that you see as failures, right? But they're all learning experiences. As long as you can take them and learn and realize, don't make the same mistake again and learn from it and grow from it. Like, that's where it all is, man. And then you just got to take a long, hard look at yourself. It's the conversation you have with yourself that is the most important, because that is where you figure out who in the fuck you are. Garrett called me the other day and he actually got me. It was the Naval one. What was the quote? It was, somebody whose mind is chaotic is somebody who has an unexamined mind. And that fired me up because it's the people is you being able to sit with yourself is where you're going to get a lot of the answers, a lot of the bullshit. You'll be able to navigate through a lot of it because we distract ourselves with our phone and everything else to where you don't actually want to sit with yourself. But anyway, great question, Ty, to answer your question about football in the pod. Yeah, I mean, I'm confident that I will get a call to play this year. I'm ready to go. My mental's in a good spot. Physically, I'm feeling good. There's definitely situations I would look at before going. I definitely do not feel in a place to where I'm desperate to be on a team or to look to go into any situation. You know, the podcast is building and it's definitely a transition. I feel like we're building something that where we're going to be able to transition ourselves with. And I say we, Taylor's obviously, you know, cashed in big time with his contract. And I know he does a lot of things off the field as well. And he'll probably get to play forever. But I know for myself, I do feel good about this pivot we've been able to kind of create with the platform. So all of those thoughts do go into it. I definitely do want to play this year, but I don't think I have to jump at any situation. Hit our last sponsor. Bare Bottom Clothing. Before you pack your next trip, check out Bare Bottom Clothing. Their lineup is versatile menswear, and it is perfect for getting it done this summer. Guys, their trunks, insane colors. I love them. They were on my honeymoon. You can go check it out. They have the best, they have the internet's best deal. You can get two unbelievably soft, lightweight tech tees and a pair of stretch shorts for under $100. Don't get caught with shorts below the knee. With their 5.5 and 7 inch inseam styles, definitely go 5.5. Bare Bottom has your summer covered. Everything is built for value. You're getting the softest and stretchiest clothes in the game for a fraction of what you have to spend with the other guys. Giving back is at the core of what Bare Bottom does. They donate a school lunch to a child in need for each item sold. Get free shipping on your first order at barebottomclothing.com with code BUSSIN. That's B-E-A-R like the animal, bottomclothing.com, and use code BUSSIN. Next question. George Kittle, our tier one listener, George Kittle. He's off the camp. I can't wait to see the boy ball this year. But George had a nice little question. Do your own Mount Rushmore of the podcast. And this is interesting because I like everybody to be happy. And this is going to be fucking hard, dude. Now, let's lay some guidelines. Boys, you got to give me some guidelines. Are we going off of performance? Are we going off of, because it's different now. As you guys know, listening to this podcast, Taylor's an entertainer. Taylor has a natural ability to entertain, comedy. The dude is witty as shit, and he can tell stories like a motherfucker. Myself, I love interviewing people. I love sitting. I like diving a little deeper. Of course, the boy likes to have a little fun time, a little silly goose time, but I like, we're different. We're different. I like to talk to people more and dive in on journey and shit like that. The boy is a 5-star entertainer. So we have different, there's a different, I feel like dynamic with what pods we're including here is the Mount Rushmore. Do you have any ideas?
I was going to say, just the way I did mine was, it was pods that I left where I just kind of like shook my head and I was like, damn, I learned something from it. Or like, damn, that really touched me. Damn, I really resonated with that. So anytime I left the pod where it had like a physical impact on me, that's kind of where my line was in naming my Mount Rushmore.
What's yours? I'm glad you have a Mount Rushmore.
Jalen Ramsey. Not in this specific order.
Right, we're on a mountain here.
Yeah.
It's not 1, 2, 3, 4.
Paul Bissonnette. That was an awesome one. George Kittle and Robert Tonya. what was my other one? It's hard. Oh, Darren Waller.
Yeah. That one, yeah. Do you have
there's just like honorable mentions too. I mean, Jelly Roll was insane.
See, hang on. The line is drawn. Because
yeah.
I'll be the same way. Mm-hmm. I'll be saying every goddamn guest that's been on our podcast that we do honorable mentions. But Jay, shout out Jerry Roll. I saw you snuck it in there. Yeah, man. That shit is hard. I would say the Mount Rushmore of pods. Yes, because look, I'm going to, before I make the list, I'm going to, you know, talk about a few that have been on, because I had to take photos of the little thing you made. Cause I'm like, yo, we've had on so many fucking people. But you can't not look at Vrabel cutting his dick off for the Super Bowl, set the boys, you know, started to ascend us. That's where we took a new light. We started to take notice. That's where Barstool started to figure out where we were, like who we were.
That falls right in line with like Impact.
Impact,
it,
yes.
It impacted your business.
Yes, absolutely.
So you could go off of that. Yeah. Guess that impacted Bussing with the Boys to send us.
Yeah.
But we didn't.
Jalen Ramsey, that one set us off. Let's see here. Me personally, the one I was most nervous for, because it was our 13th episode overall, and it was following Jalen Ramsey, and it was the first podcast I did on my own. I actually brought Michael Chandler on that helped the boy out with, but Schaub, because Brendan was somebody like The Fighter and the Kid is written. I need to send you fucking pictures of this too, so you can have it on the YouTube, but it's written like the, some of the inspirations of what you wanted your stuff to look like The Fighter and the Kid, King and the Sting, and him and Theo Vaughn, like having him come on was seeing somebody in the podcast world to where he was an athlete turned podcaster, like in the entertainment with comedy, podcasting, and everything else. So he was somebody I was super nervous for, and I thought that pod was awesome for me personally. Let's see here. You got Derrick Henry's first time. That was huge for us as far as impact for Bussin. Darren Waller, David Questenberry, the story of him beating cancer and everything else. That's six. Trust me, I'm going to narrow it down, but look at me trying to get in all the, trying to save faces of people. Let's see here. Dana Beers. I'm just fucking kidding. Max Crosby. He was a banger, dude. Incredible story. Talking about his addiction and everything else. That was an incredible story.
He hadn't been public with it, too.
Like, right. He kind of did it on ours. Yeah. No, that was incredible. I mean, A.J. Brown's was big, but I don't think he's on the Mount Rushmore. George Kittle and Rob Tonyan, that was when I walked away and I was like, yo, I fuck with these dudes. Like, I want them to win. Like, I want them to be successful. You know what I mean? Like, that one was one that really resonated with me.
Sitting here just scrolling through the playlist of all the full episodes, and this is impossible to pick four.
I know. But it is what it is, man. Like, we got to pick four. I'm going to go Darren Waller. I'm going to go...
We'll put it on Twitter this week, too, and we'll let people say theirs.
Yeah. I think Darren Waller. I think Vrabel. Not because I want to be on the team, but I'd still like to be on the team. Vrabel. Chad Johnson.
I was going to say Ocho, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Bo hasn't dropped yet, but.
Fuck, man.
Wait, Chad Johnson, why?
Because I was obsessed with him as a high schooler.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
I'm talking, I was the white Ocho Cinco.
I got you.
People call you that too. I've been hearing them call you that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of rumors. There's a lot of nicknames out there. White Ojo Cinco, Air Monarch, The Wolf.
Cinco Blanco.
Yeah.
White Five.
Dale Earnhardt. I think the Dale Earnhardt one coming out is going to be on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah,
who's the other unreleased one?
Bo. Oh, we're not putting
Bo. No, you asked Bo.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if Bo makes the Mount Rushmore.
Really?
I mean, you can't not think about Portnoy.
Damn.
As far as what it did for the pod.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel, too. That was a banger one. We're all just fucking pissed now.
Derek's second time. Stupid question.
Nah.
You think Derek's second time was better than his first?
Yeah.
I think he was better his second time.
I think so too. He was a lot more comfortable.
You're right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't even have him on the Rushmore. He didn't bring the trophy. Hey, that is so hard, man.
Says a lot about the pod.
Maybe we come back next week.
Yeah, maybe we'll have something next week if we roll one out next week. That's a good question, George. One of our tier ones, Iowa Hawkeye, following the Nebraska Cornhusker pod very closely. I'm glad you're a fan of the boys. What do we have? Let's get to some of the video. Wait. What do we have with the Instagram before we go video? Because there's a 2-in-1 for the Instagram. I just wanted to shout out the boys. If you're drinking, watching this, you got to drink every time I say boys. Zane Hunt, because this was a 2-parter. So Z_Hunt2, Zane Hunt. Where are you at mentally, not knowing where you'll be at this season in terms of football? Is it harder getting geared up for a season when camp starts and you haven't been picked up yet? My mental is solid. This is the third year I'm going about it. Probably the first year where I was uneasy about it is when, in 2019, when I hadn't got picked up and we were doing the podcast and I had went to the Saints and ultimately went to the Raiders. But that was probably when I was most uneasy because you're just so used to the routine of going and knowing where you'll be, being in a camp every year. But this being the third year, I'm seriously like, if anything else, I'm trying not to be anywhere until the end of training camp because it saves my body. The boy's older. And I say that not because I don't love ball, but being in training camp early, the benefit to me being in training camp early is if a team actually saw me and it would reflect in their offer to me that I would be a potential starter for their team. So I would go all in on obviously playbook, being there absolutely every day because I'm competing for a starting job. Being so late in the process and getting close to the season, I know I'm probably going to be a low offered guy. I don't know where that money's going to fall. You never want to say nothing. But that's just usually where everybody's head's at, right? I'll be somebody that comes in. If a young guy doesn't work out and I'm in a contingency plan, like a team called me last week and they wanted to know where I was at physically, mentally, all that stuff, if I want to play because they wanted me as a contingency plan. And so knowing that I'm slotted there, that I'll be a backup and special teams guy, for me, the best business decision is to save my body as much as possible because I know I can do those. I know I'm as good of an insurance policy as you can get being a linebacker. So I got to play to what's going to benefit me the most unless I'm getting paid to go and actually compete somewhere. Knowing I'm slotted there is the reason why I would wait as long as I can to get somewhere. Again, so I can save the tread on my tire because I know I'm not getting that shot to actually compete no matter what these dudes say because I've played for a little bit now, but thank you for the question. Also, Darcy Hargreaves, what's up, boys? Got a question for Will in the pod. Will we see comp suiting up this season? Will it be for the burgundy and gold? Love you guys from Queensland, Australia. That's fucking awesome, Darcy. I shout out the boy being out in Australia, sending in a question. Not even sure what time it was for you when I posted that tweet last night or Instagram, but, yeah, I'm sure I'll be suiting up this season. I don't know if it'll be for the burgundy and gold. If it was, that would be awesome because it's like a homecoming party. Like, I would love to play for the boys out there because there are still some guys out there. But thank you for the question. All right, the video ones. Colton.
Yo, what is up, Will? I was just wondering how you spent your first million in the NFL.
All right, Colton, that's a great question. The first thing I want to talk about is your lid. It's a little patchy up top. It kind of looks like my backyard. You let waffle out. The female dogs, they have a little chemical in their urine that burns up the grass a little bit, and that's what it's looking like on top of my man's head. Another thing, Colton, listen, you know no one's off limits when you come on this bus. We know you're for the boys, and we're for you also, but the boys got to get got. Just go ahead and check out my haircut last year. You'll see how we all get drug around here. But when you're doing a selfie video, guys, lift the phone up over your face. Like, you're halfway cut in. And it doesn't look good when you're from the bottom up. I look chubbier when you go from the bottom up. I assume it's the same with everybody else. Go from the top down, you look better. But, Colton, to answer your question about the spending my first $1 million, the first thing I did, I don't even know. I saved it. Honestly, I was a Dave Ramsey cat my rookie year because it wasn't $1 million that I got. It took me several years to amass that because just because you play in the NFL don't mean you're a millionaire. My rookie practice squad money was like $100,000. I did the envelope system with Dave Ramsey. The first big purchase of private were probably Air Maxes. There were Air Maxes that were, they're the first pair of shoes I was able to get over $100. And they were Air Maxes. Shout out to Air Maxes. After 3 years of playing in the league and some performance bonuses, like some PP player performance that you get bonus wise at the end of the year, that is when I bought my first house back in Bon Terre. And I also bought my first truck. That's as far as I go because we're a Chevy podcast, baby. But that was probably how, you know, my first big purchases. Nick Gomez.
Question for the boys. Bothered me for years. Nobody else seems to give a shit, but I'm wondering why are fucking clear drop passes not considered a separate category than incompletion, similar to an error in baseball? I feel like if a fucking receiver fucking muffs three passes, perfect passes, shouldn't go against the QB's line for the day. This should be a separate category, drop passes. Love to hear what you think. Thanks. Peace.
Nick, thank you for the question, brother. Sorry for looking at my phone in the middle of the question, but there's a reason no one gives a shit about that question because it's just an incomplete pass.
Saying it's on the receiver, it's not on the QB.
Like, absolutely, but what kind of stat do we need there? Like, there's the next gen stats. There's PFS for drop balls. Like, if you go to PFF, they have drop balls on there. But he's talking about from the quarterback's perspective. Why does it have to go into the quarterback? Just is what it is, bro. It's a team game.
I disagree. I like the baseball analogy.
Good. I need somebody to disagree. Yeah, I need somebody to be like, hey, that's kind of an asshole response. But no, to me, it's like, you know, he's thought of it for years. There's a reason no one gave a shit. It's like, it's a drop pass, bro.
I didn't know it was an epidemic like he's talking about, but it definitely, I think, could be considered an error or something like that on the wide receiver. We already look at it in baseball, like you said. If it's a play that the scorer makes the decision you should have made, they give you the error and they don't put it on the pitcher. I think it could easily be that. But then we'd also have to change the rule books from here on out, and all record books would have to be rewritten because you'd have guys having perfect games in football now, which is actually kind of sick now that I'm thinking about that.
Throw a perfect game?
Yeah. Be like, hey, I went 24 for 24.
Yeah.
That's fun.
That's true. Like, what would the analogy be to play on the other side of that, though? But what if you had two drop balls? You could still say 24 for 24?
Right, yeah, because it wouldn't be your fault as a QB.
But listen, when you throw a no-hitter or a perfect game, it's not like he's striking everybody out. You still need your players to make the plays for you.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So if you say, you know, balls,
but you're getting credit for those outs, though. You're still recording those outs. So the pitcher gets credit for those, just like the QB would get credit for those being caught, and the receiver would also get their credit for catching it.
So you still get a perfect game if there's an error and somebody gets on base.
No, that would be a no-hitter. But a perfect game is when literally nobody gets on base. So no walks, no errors.
Correct. Yeah, I know.
So it would just be a no-hitter if somebody reached via error.
So essentially, like, there would be a middle stat that could be created for like a because you throw a perfect game, no one's making an error.
Correct.
So I would say that's the devil's advocate side of, like, if you throw a perfect game as a pitcher, you need your boys around you to make their plays as well.
Oh, no doubt. That's a team effort for sure.
It's the same when you're throwing the ball as a quarterback. Like, just because your receiver drops it, like, you still need your teammate to make a play.
To win, yeah. But if we're just talking about stat sheets, you know what I'm saying? Like, but also, I think it could give even receivers more to play for, where it's like, yo, I went 9 for 9 today, which they already do anyways. But
yeah, I was going to say, it's already...
way. It's not pubbed the same way, though.
Right, but the right ones who need to know.
Yeah, that's true.
When it comes to business and everything else, like, if a quarterback goes 24 for 26 and the receiver dropped it a couple times, the right people are going to know what happened.
Yeah.
It won't be as publicly displayed, but... Hey, great question. It ended up being a great question, Nick. Shout out Alex back there. He kind of came, he threw you a little, you know.
I'm trying, Nick. Me.
Yeah, well, I was an asshole, but.
Hey, Will, Catfish Jake here. I got a question for you for Bussin. I know your boy Taylor's experienced the Nashville Preds catfish tossing tradition, especially with that 36-pounder I took him to chug that beer out of, which was awesome, fun, and kind of gross, but cool at the same time. When do you want to experience it, man? I know you've talked about it before. I want to see what it's all about. You pick a game, home or away. Home is fun because, you know, it's local and we can do it and get the crowd hype here. Away is a lot of fun, too, because it pisses off a whole arena full of people, which I've been known to do a few times, which is also a lot of fun. So you call it, man. You want to get down with the tradition here in Nashville with the catfish. Let me know. We can go somewhere and do it. We can stay here and do it. Just give me a shout, man. All right.
Catfish Jake. Mm-hmm. Enjoy life a little bit more. Have some enthusiasm.
A little stoicism going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, stoic guy.
You know, you want to do it. Like pissing people off. We have a good time, though. Taylor, he did it. You've always talked about doing it. Think it'd be a fun time. Let me know. Hit me up. Call me back. Like, hey, have a little bit of fun with life. I would love to do, you know, it definitely doesn't seem sanitary at all, like chugging beer off of a catfish, but I would do it for the boys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I would love to be out. Speaking of, the hockey guy shirts were good for us. Yeah. The shitty part was the boys ended up losing, which, you know, the hard-fought battle. It did suck. We took it. You take a shot. But next year, with those hockey guy shirts, going to games, and however the tailgates go this year with football, I think we're going to have a nice little transition getting into the hockey world. Have some of the boys on in hockey. I know Garrett's been calling for it since day one to get more hockey players on the pod, especially the Preds. Garrett, I don't want that to be going said. You have been, you know, steadfast in your request for hockey players. But I think, Catfish Jake, I love your cause. I know you've been a day one for us, a tier one. And, dude, it would be awesome to chug a fat fish, to chug a catfish and just get the crowd going. Would you guys take some beer off a catfish?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, for the fucking boys. You see some shit like Dave Bakhtiari and Dana Beers going back and forth. I mean, Taylor, our own. He did a great job. But I think that you know, what Dana B did with Bakhtiari, I mean, can they not take a little bit of credit that sparked that comeback for Milwaukee to win the whole series?
I think so.
All right, that is a fucking long pod. Hopefully Bloss edits it down. He's saying no. It's like 2 fucking hours of listening to me. I hope it was worth it. Merchandise, swim trunks, Hawaiian shirts. There is new stuff coming and in the works. That rope hat you see me in on the honeymoon and everything else, that is on its way. We're going to be doing a push of the flags, the bus and pocket tees that we were talking about earlier. And also, obviously, football merch. Oh, yeah, the one I'm wearing now. You can... I don't know if it's up until the weekend. So if you're listening to this episode and watching me on this pod, this shirt I think will become available by the end of the week, potentially weekend. So we'll obviously tweet about it. You know, we're obnoxious as fuck with that stuff. But yeah, dude, buy the merch. Again, if you're watching, subscribe, like, leave a comment. If you're listening on audio, leave a review for the boys. Unsubscribe and resubscribe again. You guys are fucking awesome. Big hugs, tiny kisses. And as always, be a fucking wolf. Big shout out to you guys. If you enjoyed this episode and love and support Bussin' with the Boys, go to whatever podcast platform you're on and subscribe to us. Leave a review, rate 5 stars. If you're already subscribed, unsubscribe and resubscribe again. It helps the boys climb the charts. And again, we wouldn't be doing this and can't do this without you guys and all of your support. We also have a YouTube channel. If you'd like to watch our show or these episodes, they are on YouTube at Bussin' with the Boys. We're also on social media at Bussin' WTB. You can follow us everywhere. Go buy our merch. You guys know that whole deal. But thank you so much. We are forever grateful for you. The biggest of hugs and tiniest of kisses for the boys, always and forever.